You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
So today we conclude our distracted series. Can somebody tell me what this root word meaning of distracted is? What is that? You remember from the last couple weeks? What is it? Torn apart. Good job, man. Awesome. Who's your dad? Okay, and your mom. Okay, pulled apart. That's right. To being pulled apart. This root word for distraction means pulled apart. So I thought it might be good to start with something fun. My wife has three older brothers, and they know how to pull things apart. Okay? So whenever my mother-in-law would leave the house, inevitably they would find something. And when she came home, it would be apart. It would just be dismantled somehow, right? That's what they did. In fact, the youngest brother, that's what he does now. He works for the DPS. He takes radios apart, puts them back together. He's really good at it. But when they were younger, they're still practicing. So things were scattered, and they had the pulling apart down, but they didn't actually have the putting back together down. So what I thought would be fun is I found some images of some things that are pulled apart, and let's see if you can figure out what these images are, what the original item actually was. Okay, it may not be that hard, but it'll be kind of fun. Are you ready? Okay. Okay, good. Okay, alarm clock. Good job. That's an alarm clock. Can you see it? All the little dates and everything. That's what an alarm clock looks like, pulled apart and neatly placed side by side with all the parts together. Okay, here's a go. Number two. There's two of them right here, one on the left, one on the right. What is the one on the left? What is that? A camera. Do you have any idea that a camera had that many pieces to it? And what is the thing on the right? You see that? Typewriter, kids. A typewriter is, well, ask your parents. Okay, that's interesting, though, and it took me a little while because I was focused on the left side, that all those little pieces there. Okay, here we go. What is that? That's easier to see. But did you know that there are still actually more parts to that car? That's a Hyundai Genesis. Who's a proud sponsor of today's service, by the way? Just kidding. Just kidding. We're not doing that bad. It's funny how whenever you put things side by side, when you take something apart, put it side by side, how much space it takes up. That's interesting, isn't it? I've never really seen this. I'm very enamored by these pictures. I spent a lot of time being distracted by these images this week. There's one of a jackhammer that I didn't show, but that was pretty interesting too. The thing that I noticed is that first, all of these things have been scattered into pieces. Okay, they've been pulled apart. The pieces are usually immobile. There's very few of those things that could probably work like that. And the third thing that I noticed about this is that if you wanted to say what this was in a word, I guess you could say when something is pulled apart like this, it's to this extent useless. Yeah? I mean, if it's not able to do what it's designed to do anymore, it seems to be useless. I hope this series has been helpful. I hope it's helped you to kind of come to terms with some of the distractions in your life. You know, it's been a hard series for me, and I will just say right away, because I found that there's a lot of squirrels in my life. Remember that from the very first lesson? That moment when the dog's talking and he says, "Squirrel!" How many times do we have squirrels in our life? I found some squirrels in my life. Some things I didn't realize were squirrels, but they are. It's funny that these things take up your attention. They take up my attention. And a lot of this attention that I have, it should be going towards other things. Remember this quote from the very first week? Your attention is one of the last things that truly belongs to you. It is yours. Only you can choose what you do with your attention. Remember we asked, are you giving it away without even realizing it? Now remember this question too. What is the central focus of your life? And if you want to know, look at where you spend your money. Look at where you spend your time. Deeper question would be why? Why do you spend your money and your time on those particular areas of your life? Is it intentional? Now, we all know what happens when we get distracted. Not all distractions are bad, by the way. I want to reinforce that. They're not all bad, but we need to continually ask ourselves, is the thing that I'm focused on, is it pulling me closer to God or pulling me apart from Him? Is the things we're focused on pulling us closer to our family or apart from it? Is it pulling us away from our church family? And I know we're busy, and I know we have lots of things pulling us at every direction. We have kids, family, work, church, baseball, football, school activities, community activities, and then we have hobbies and holiday sales and the community activities and season tickets and vacations, and then you have the work and the kids, and I could go on, and it just goes around and round, really. We're all busy, I know that, but we all have 24 hours in every day. It's the great equalizer, isn't it? It equals the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the healthy, the weak. 24 hours is what we have been given. You have it, I have it, so has every person since the very dawn of time. And Jesus had it, and he was a very busy man. It's interesting to think that, you know, Jesus could have gone somewhere, especially when he started his ministry, and probably before. We don't have really a lot of information before the first 30 years of his life. But it's amazing to think that could he have gone anywhere without being pulled and begged and drawn and people grabbing at him and needing from him, mobbing him, following him? But even Jesus found time in his busy schedule to focus, to pray. Look at Mark 1:35. It says, in the morning while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." You ever been like that? You finally found the perfect time to get away. You're all alone in your house, and then somebody needs something. Jesus finally gets away, and he's focusing, and they still need him. In the busyness of life, Jesus made time to focus on his Father. And I tell you, I don't think I'm as busy as him. Do I focus on my Father? Do I have intentional time in the week where I focus on my Father? To concentrate on who God is, what he's calling me to do. Now remember when Jesus decided to go to Jerusalem, remember that moment? He had spent most of his time in the little cities surrounding Galilee. He helped many people, the apostles were learning, people were being healed. But it came time in Luke 9:51 where he set his face to go to Jerusalem. We've said this verse in every sermon so far this series. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus was going to fulfill his mission. He was ready. It would be the birthplace for eternity for all who believe in Jerusalem. Right there. That's where it was going to happen. But Jesus, you know, he wasn't meandering. He was setting his face to Jerusalem. He was focused. He couldn't see anything else but the cross that was waiting for him. God called him, he answered, and he was on his way. And the question I have is, are we ready to go where God would have us go? Or are we meandering? This week I'm going to ask you one question and then a larger question. Okay, here's the one question. Are you going to Jerusalem? By that I mean, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, are you focused on the part that you have to play in his story? Are you about making disciples? Are you about loving the Lord God with everything you are? About loving your neighbor? Is your face set? And here's the second question. As the body of Christ here in Grapevine, Texas, have we collectively set our face to go to Jerusalem? or are we distracted? Are we a whole body of Christ, or have we let distractions pull us apart? Pull us just enough to where we're scattered in pieces, just far enough away from each other that we can't really move all that well. Now, I know when we think of church, we think of this beautiful building a lot of times, but I'm going to reinforce the idea that church is the people. It is not bricks and mortar. The body of Christ is the people. Followers of Jesus Christ working together in grace and hope and love to bring the message of God's salvation to the world. 1 Corinthians 12, it's this chapter on how the body of Christ is a body. So let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 12, this is Paul reminding us who we are. And this is what he says. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of his body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And he says again in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We have a mission. We have a purpose together. Have you ever wondered what happens when the body of Christ is distracted? Has that happened here? I mean, I know it's easier to think about the church as something bigger than all this people here. But what if I told you that this church family was only as strong, only as focused as its most distracted member? Oh no, Scott, that's not right. I don't matter much in the grand scheme of things. I'm not that important to this place. I'm sorry, but you do matter. All of you. You are valuable. In fact, did you know that every choice that I make, Scott Allen, every choice that I make, every word that I say, it doesn't just affect me. It also affects the body of Christ here. The body of Christ globally. It is, whether positive, whether negative, whether it's indifferent. I mean, if you knew that the decisions you made today were going to affect this church family, how would that affect how you made your decisions today? How would that change the words you say? Because the thing is that they matter. Things we do, the words we say, it matters. Whether it's positive, whether it's complaining, negative talk. You know, these are distractions that could potentially pull this church family apart. Now, someone begins complaining about one thing or another, the preacher, or the preacher begins complaining about the members, you know, what the church is or isn't doing. You know, those words have the potential to pull people apart. Ephesians 4, Paul knew this. He says this, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. You know, words matter. Conversation matters. But even if a particular topic needs to be discussed, and as it often does in church, you need to talk about certain things. But if the words that we use aren't baptized in love, they aren't helpful. You ever thought about baptizing your words? A friend of mine, Michael Harbour, coined that phrase, baptizing your words. As we have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, could we baptize our words in the same way? If they're not baptized, then they're not building us up. They're not moving us toward Jerusalem. They're instead pulling us apart. And those are just the direct way. There's also indirect ways where the body of Christ can be pulled apart. Indirect ways begin to emerge, you know, apathy, fear, inaction. We need to be conscious of it. And if we can hear someone tearing down instead of building up and we don't do anything, are we directly contributing or indirectly contributing to the fracturing of the body? You know, we become a distraction. And we all, a lot, we live our lives in this realm of the indirect. When we aren't present, when we aren't participating with the body, I wonder if that's not contributing to the slow movement of our church family. I mean, how can a church, how can a body move forward if the legs and arms and, colon decide not to show up on a particular day? What I've heard is that if your gut doesn't work, your body's not moving. I will say that our individual state, our choices, the position that we have, it directly affects the entire body. Our presence matters. Our words matter. Our actions, our decision, our focus. Our focus matters. And for those of us who think that our presence doesn't matter when we meet, I just want you to know it matters. It is important. Now, I'm not saying everything that happens through God happens in this building. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that when the body of Christ meets, it's important. And when you are not here, you're missed. I mean, your future here is just amazing. I was telling some people this week how excited I am for the future of this church. You have no idea how exciting it is to see kids and to see families and to see the passion that you have for ministry, the ideas, the things, and the people that you're helping. Wow. The thing is, God wants this place. You have got such a bright spirit. He's placed you exactly where he wants you to be. But his plans for this church family can only be realized as a church family. When we move together, we don't all have to agree. We know that. We don't all have to be the same. All we have to do is to move together. Let's move together. And you know, the way to begin to move is by first being aware that there are distractions that are seeking to pull us apart, to slow us down. And I think the sooner we understand that, the sooner we can set our face collectively toward Jerusalem. So I'm going to give you a few takeaways here today. Ways that we can keep our family focused, heading toward Jerusalem, setting our face. So here we go. It begins with focus. It begins there. Focus is a skill. It takes practice. And when a church family is focused, there is nothing they cannot do. It begins in Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. What does that look like? Start there. Start by focusing in on Jesus. Let his name be the first thing that comes out of your mouth on any given morning. Let his name be the last thing that you utter in the evening before you sleep. Let his name be what comes out of your mouth whenever you eat, whenever you encounter a new friend. When you come to a difficulty, let the name of Jesus be on your mouth, in your lips, in your heart. Focus there. And then focus on each other. Thank you for saying that today, Joel. That was great. Love one another. Focus on one another. You know, this is the practical way to focus on Jesus. Let's focus on each other. There is not one person who should leave this building anytime we meet without being seen or noticed. Not one person should leave here thinking, oh, no one said hi to me. We can all do that. It's a skill we have to practice. It may not be your natural way, but you know what? You can do this. Love, I love how you love people. So let's practice that. Focus. It takes a lot for some, but if you know how to focus, then practice and show others how to do it. Number two, choose to walk together. This is hard. The early church did this. Acts 2:44, all who believed were together. They had all things in common. You know how much trust that requires for these people to be together? We're talking Jews, Gentiles, we're talking slaves free, we're talking people who are in different classes, different economic statuses, and they were together and had all things in common. That's hard. I even wonder if Luke wasn't painting us an ideal picture. This happened. It only happened for a little bit, readers, but it happened. Corinthians started going downhill in Corinth. what if this idea of being in common meant we had to choose to trust each other? Members, trusting your leadership, trusting your elders, deacons, you know, elders and staff, trusting your members. And I know choosing to trust somebody may mean we're opening ourselves up for difficulty and to be hurt. I understand that. I've been hurt a lot. I know you have too. But it does not mean that we should not choose to trust. Trust is a skill as well. But I think whenever we choose to trust somebody, each person will become an opportunity to love. Each person will become an opportunity to practice forgiveness and grace and mercy as well. And when we start to trust, we'll find it easier to move. We'll find it easier to walk together. Number three, speak words that encourage, that help, and that build up. So when you're walking closely with somebody, there comes a moment when you find you don't necessarily agree about the same thing. Whether it's a theological issue, whether it's a political issue, you find out you don't agree with that person. And our first response is to try to convince or to refute or to prove the other wrong. What if our first reaction wasn't help, trying to be helpful for them to change their way of thinking? What if our reaction was to speak words that encouraged instead? What if our reaction was baptizing our words and help them to be helpful? How would that build up our church family? Because you know what? There's a lot of people in here who do not agree the same. And I think it's awesome to know that people here disagree on some major issues, but they sit next together in the pew and have communion, and they're here because of Jesus Christ. They share all things in common right here in this place. That's awesome to me. Next, be here. Be present when we meet, because you matter. You matter. You're valuable to this place. And I say this because sometimes I know we don't think our absence is going to affect anything. But think about this. If you're having dinner and your father or your son or your daughter or your cousin, they don't show up for your family meal, are you going to notice? We notice. And I know some people are like, why aren't you calling me? I'm not checking in on you. I'm just making sure you're okay. Because we care for each other. And the hard thing is this. When we can come to that place when we realize we actually need each other, it's going to be a completely new and revived place. Church-wide, global. If we needed each other, what would that look like? Because you know what? I need you. You have no idea how much I need each and every one of you. And I know you guys need each other. You may not realize it, but you need each other. I keep hearing this whenever people have a death in the family and their church wraps their arms around them, and they always say this: I don't know how anyone does this who does not have a church family. And we've seen those people who don't have church families. We need each other. Be present with us. I need you. It needs to be together, this body of Christ, before we can move forward. And finally, I'm going to say this: pray. Pray for the body of Christ often, daily. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful. It is effective. Say that again. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Do you pray for this church family? I don't pray for you enough. I'll just admit it right now. I'm confessing my sins to you. What if we all prayed for each other daily? What would that look like? What if we prayed for each other by name, the ones that we know? How would that link us together, unite us together as one body? We pray for ourselves when we're sick. We pray, God, give me strength. God, heal me. God, help my financial situation. What if that was an ongoing prayer, not only for us, but for this family that meets? And I know lots of you already do that. But what if we all took a day or two this week and focused on praying for our church family? What if it became part of our daily conversation with God? Talk about a focused and connected family. Man. I guess what I would ask you is, where are you in this conversation? I know where I am, and I have a ways to go. My question is, are you passionate about what God is doing here? What God could do through this church family? Are you building up these people? Are you building one another up? Are you pulling it apart? Because God has called us to go. He's called us to move. He's called us to set our face towards Jerusalem. And I'm going to challenge you to ask yourself this question. Are you ready to go? I've never been more focused or resolute in my life, and I still am not perfect. Shelly and I, we're ready. We're ready. Our faces are set because we see it. We see what's possible here. We see what you guys can do. I see it through the love. I see it through the actions that you have for one another. I see it through the excitement and the ideas and the practical hands-on ministry that I see you do. My question, are you ready to go? Could you join me? Because as much as I can, I'm going. And there's going to be a moment when I fail, and I'm going to need you to put me right back on track. Let's all stand together. I want you to ask yourself this question. Do not let this moment waste. Do not let this moment pass you by. We're going to sing here in a moment. My question is this. Maybe you don't think you can move forward. Maybe you need to repent first. That's okay. This is the perfect place to do it. There's no judgment here, no condemnation. Repent right now. God wants to do something with you. If you're on the edge of whether or not you need to fully commit, George Dalton said this to me the other day. He says, you know, I'm not a good sinner and I'm not a good Christian because I have my feet in both areas. I'm not good at either one. Why not just jump over? Join Jesus. He's on his way. He's going somewhere. Join me. Join our leaders. Join our family. But you have to choose.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.